Let us pray, Father. I bow my head before you, Lord, because you are the Lord. Father, it was your love that you called me. From which position I was, you called me. Father, I was not at all worthy, but you called me. Father, I submit before you. There are many mistakes in me. The mistakes, Father, you correct me. Whenever I am about to take a step, you guide me. Father, you talk to me. Father, we thank you, Father. Today, you have given the word. It is your word. Father, let my word not be heard. But Father, I submit myself unto you. Father, let my meditation be a pleasing sacrifice unto thee, Lord. Father, I give you once again all glory and honor. Let your name alone be glorified. Let your name alone be glorified in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the last week for this year for me. God has given me an opportunity. I thank God for everything. I thank God for all what He's done in this year to me and to the church and to all of us. I thank God. I take this opportunity to say sorry to the church. You might think what it is. No one knows. It was between me and my God. We had the men's ministry. We had the men's conference. And I couldn't attend that. I couldn't attend that is not a reason. I gave a wrong model to the church. And I couldn't come. I am sorry for that. I'm sorry for that. All right. This is between me and God. Let's move into the verses. Thank you, choir, for the wonderful worship. Wonderful worship. Today, you have blessed us like anything. Blessed me like anything. I thank you. I thank you all, choir. Thank you. One day, our recent times, the greatest scientists of our time, Richard Dawkins and John Lennox, met in a platform. You know, they are one of the very famous. One is a Christian, one is an atheist. Richard Dawkins is an atheist. And one day, Richard mocked in a platform, mocked John. Mr. John, do you believe still that Jesus walked on the water? Do you believe that? So it's a question when you really think relatively. This was a big question. But the answer that he gave was, he invented the water. So walking was not an issue. Then again, he asked in return, do you believe in the moral values? And Richard said, no. Man is acting on his DNA. And he says, right and wrong is all as per your thinking. There is no right and wrong. I love that reasoning is good, but reasoning to that extent that you go astray is not good. He asked Mr. Dawkins, suppose someone comes and one day your wife goes along with him. Is it right or wrong? He was not able to give an answer at that point of time. Moral values comes from God. The value comes from God. And then again he asked, do you really believe Jesus resurrected? He said, John answered, "The resurrection of Christ gave me the meaning to live." The meaning to live. So if you believe in right and wrong, and if there is a meaning for life, there is a life beyond. There is a life beyond. If we have a life beyond, we will meet him. How will we stand before him? This is the question I am raising before you. All right. We are just going to see how will we understand this parable. This parable is from Matthew 25. We looked into the second parable last time. Now this is the first parable, 25, from first verse to the 13th verse.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Verse 3. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you."
Here, this word, "Assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you." That's a very difficult word to receive from him. So I would literally tell you that consider each and every verse. Now we will be comparing how these two groups came. Actually, there was no two group, there was only one group. So how these two group came. And finally, one of the group heard this word that, "I never knew you. I do not know you." All right, there.
Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps, went forth to meet this bridegroom.
Bridegroom. Now, yeah. Now, from this verses, I think you all listened to the reading. Because I know that you will not read from the board, so you might have listened. Now, what is the kingdom of God compared to? What is the kingdom of God compared to in this? What? What is the kingdom of God compared to? Compared to what?
10 virgins.
Exactly, 10 virgins. Waiting for the bridegroom. This 10 virgins are the brides who are invited for the wedding, and they are waiting for the bridegroom. Now, I just wanted to know here, the word of God says, kingdom of God is likened. So, kingdom of God is compared to what? Kingdom of God is where? Kingdom of God is where? There is nothing written on my, this is not a word. Yeah? It is within this 10 virgins. So this 10 virgins had the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God were likened, when you read that, it was with the 10 virgins. So now it is where? Kingdom of God. Yes, it is with us. Thank you.
So here, what made them wise and the foolish? What made them wise and the foolish? What made? The oil that might be right. Okay, right. But what is that? But I would say that the response to the call of God, they could not be qualified to the response. You know, why did I say that? Was it is right that it is the oil. They did not carry the oil. The response, when God said, then when they were going to wait for the Lord, they did not expect that God will come. And at that point of time, they have to wait. So they were very casual. As we come, most of us, we come to the church. Very casual. But they came to know only when they lit the lamp. They didn't have the oil. So this oil is a very critical thing. And there is one more thing that is missing, actually. Not only the oil, it's a vessel. Only they carried the vessel. They carried the vessel, not the other group. So anyhow, the other group will not carry the vessel empty. So only they carried the vessels. So these are the two things. Now, let us, so this is only a comparison to know. Now, we know that let us compare between each group now. Now, when you look at the kingdom of God dwelling in them, they were qualified. All the 10 were qualified, right? Not the foolish. You don't think that foolish was not qualified. Foolish was qualified. That's a very important thing I want you to notice. So they were qualified. Then we will look at what is virgin. They were virgins. All were virgins. We'll just see what is virgins. We'll see from Revelation 14, 1 and 4. Yeah.
Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, bring first fruits to God and to the Lamb.
Okay, all right. Here we see that this group who sang a song in the second verse and third verse, we see that they are singing a song no one could sing. But in the fourth verse, they say they were not defiled with women, not with men. So it is not about marriage. Some people take this as marriage. That's wrong, because it's talking about they were not defiled with women. They are virgins. And then again, when you read the next verse, these were redeemed from among men. Now the word of God says from among men. These virgins were redeemed from among men. So they were not literally what the name means as virgin. It was the virgin that the spiritual is. It is talk about the spiritual virgin. So it is not in relation to the marriage in this world. So the fifth verse says, and in the mouth was found no deceit, and for they are without fault before the throne of God. Before the throne of God, there was no deceit. Before the throne of God, that's the important thing. Before the throne of God, there was no deceit. So, after that, we see that in the fourth verse itself, we see that being first fruits, that these are the first fruits. First fruits means what? First fruits means what? When Jesus comes, who are going to be caught up with him, is the first fruit. You understood? Who are going to be caught up with him is going to be the first fruit. So they are the first fruits that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 14:4. So here, Now let us compare. They all had lamps. See, the thing is that all of them had lamps. All of them had lamps. So we will see what is a lamp and what is oil. That is the essence of this message. The lamps and the oil. They all tarried for the bridegroom. Some of them slept, or some of them didn't sleep. No, all of them slept. We read that all of them slept. And then there was a cry. Did both the groups hear it? Yes, both the groups. Because there was no split between two groups at that point of time. Then both of them woke up and lit the lamps. All of them had the lamps. Now, the difference, problem come here, but the lights of one group, this is where the separation comes, were not burning steadfastly because they did not have the vessels of oil. Now, here we see the separation. Now, I'll just give you a small example that there had been a fasting prayer for rain. It was drought, and the king called for a fasting prayer. It was 7 days fasting. So everyone came and took part in the fasting. It went on, and finally, on the seventh day, everyone came. Everyone came and they are praying. Now what happened on the seventh day, suddenly the climate changed. It started raining. There was only one boy who was having an umbrella. You understood the meaning? This is how mostly we conduct our meetings. So the beauty is that the pastor who conducted the meeting had to come under the umbrella of that boy. You understood? So this is what I wanted to compare with our own lives. When we read this, when we look into this further, you have to always compare this with our lives. If you miss anything, you will miss it because you will not understand. This is a very systematically connected message. So let us continue with the parable. In the night, when they came to know that their lights were not burning, they ran into the darkness. And they went and to buy the oil. They knew where the oil was sold. And then they somehow in the darkness they went and they bought the oil and came and knocked on the door. The door was not opened. And it said there was a sound that I never knew you. You know, when I read this parable for the first time in my early days, I was thinking that it was not reasonable at all. But when I meditated on this, I understood there is a big reason why God did not open. God did not open the door. So we will come to know what is that reason. So what do you understand by the lamp? By the lamp. In Matthew chapter 5:16, it says that,
let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, doing the will of God, and glorify your Father in heaven.
In heaven. All right. Here we see that let the light so shine before men. So your light, which is the good works or the will of God, and glorify your Father in heaven. That means your good works, a Christian good work is not a normal work. You know, one person was giving a message, preaching, and he's in a Muslim country. And he said, Christian faith is not possible to live. It's not possible. So he was preaching like that. So there was it was in a different country. He said, sir, you are talking without, you are simply saying because you don't know. He said, no, you just come here and and he was brought to the front. This I heard from Ravi Zacharias, and he made him stand here. And he said, look at my eyes. They had the eye contact. Gave him one slap on his cheek. He was astonished. Again, one more slap. He didn't respond. Then he asked to take out his trousers. He was the professor of that university. He stood towards the people and said, I'm sorry for that. Please excuse me. And he took out his trousers. He was on his inner vest. They didn't have anything to say. He went back. When the meeting finished, there was a big queue lined up to say sorry to that professor. This is how we stand for Christ. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, doing the will of God, and glorify your Father in heaven. This here, the light, the good works is compared to doing the will of God. So when you do the will of God, your body is full of light. Matthew 6:22. Yeah, read.
The lamp of the body is the eye.
Yeah.
Therefore,
there it says the lamp of the body is the eye. Did you notice that word, or simply got it into your heart? You are reading this always. Matthew 6 is very, very famous one. The lamp of the body is the eye. And then?
Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light.
Yes. If your eyes are good, the whole body will be full of light. So, eyes is the lamp of the body. Lamp of the body. So, then, for this lamp to continuously glow, you need what? Oil. Yeah. So, 6:23 says, but
if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Yes. If you read from Matthew 7:3, yeah, and
why? And why do you look at the speck of your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Mm. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your eye?
Yeah.
Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye. This is the solution.
So Matthew 6:22 says, the lamp of your body is the eye. Now, what is that blocking your eyesight? That is mentioned in Matthew 7:3, that you have a plank in your eyes. This is what is blocking your eyesight. You have a plank in your eyes, and then you go and see the speck in your brother's eye. So, how can, actually, when you look at it, it is actually the shadow. You can say it is the shadow of the plank in your eyes is in your brother's eyes. So if you remove this plank, then what does the Bible say? You will not see the speck in your brother's eye. So it was only a shadow because you had that plank. Now, what does the word say? Remove the plank from your eyes. This is the solution. This is the solution that the Bible gives, that remove the plank. When we see the plank in other person's eyes, we think when you see the speck, we see it is a plank. Now, actually, it is the plank in our eyes is causing the problem. If you remove the planks, there is no speck. So, plank is the hypocrisy. Plank is the hypocrisy. Hypocrisy with us. So, how can you remove this hypocrisy. Can you remove this? It always haunts us. Hypocrisy always haunts us. Whether you are a spiritual person or a not spiritual, whatever, only the percentage will be high. But if the Spirit of God is in you, then you can overcome the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy you can overcome only when the Spirit of the Lord works. So the Holy Spirit works in your eyes. Then what you see with your eyes is full of light. So the Holy Spirit is what? That works in you and makes your eyesight to see that your eyes is your sight is good. So the light that is shown is your good works. So you have the good works in you when you have this light. You understood till this point? Yes? All right, thank you. So when you look at Paul met Ananias. He was blind. When he saw Christ, he became blind because he was so self-righteous. But when you read Acts 9:18, immediately there fell from the eyes something like scales, and he received the sight at once. What was that scale? It was his self-righteousness. It was his hypocrisy. He had the hypocrite life before because he was under law. Now that fell from his eyes like a scale. And the 20th verse, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So when the scale went off, immediately what happened? The scale, the hypocrisy, the plank, whatever you say that, you know, when it went off, immediately he preached that he is the Son of God. He's the son of God. So how do you view things in your life? We have to have a retrospective analysis. We have to always be, we have to look at ourselves within to see how do we see things? How do we see things? It is very, very difficult that our eyes, because we are in flesh, unless the Holy Spirit is there, you can see everyone. You just see, I am able to see. I am seeing many people. I have some idea about each person. But when I consider that into my dealing with him, his hypocrisy. Because when I look at you, I should be able to see you in the same manner that how I look at me. This is hypocrisy. So that is what when you compare with the study, we have to look into the with the tabernacle in the Old Testament to get a clear picture. Because all these are connected. Christ is connected to the Old Testament in all. Abraham gave his son. Father gave his son. So you have everything. Rebecca and Isaac, the bride and Christ. So you have everything in the Old Testament. So when you connect it to that, what we will know is when you will understand it better. So the lampstand actually talks about the lampstand in the tabernacle. It is in the holy place. It is in the holy place, and that lampstand is the one which gives light to the whole of the tabernacle within. It is in the holy place, very close to the most holy place. So there you see this lampstand burning. Throughout, it has to burn throughout. So you have this study. When you see the lampstand, it is, Jesus says, it is your eye. It is your eye. How you if your eyes are good, your whole body is is what? Is full of light. So this light that glow, that is the one. So what? That light is what? What is that light? The light is your good works. Good works. We did learn that it is good works. So it is your good works that gives you light. The whole body becomes, your whole body becomes full of light. Yeah, good. All right. Are you following? If someone is not following, just raise your hands, because I am going in a very simple manner. All right. So Exodus 27:20 says, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause lamp to burn continually." This is going to be the main verse for our study. We are looking at, when you compare both the groups, everything is the same except the oil. And except the oil and the can. That was the only difference that they had. The oil they brought in the cans. So that was the only difference. So here, this is the verse that we are going to. And you shall command children of Israel. Who should bring the oil? Children of Israel. And they bring you what kind of oil? Pure oil. Thank you. Thank you for the response. Very, very nice. Yeah. And how it should be? It should be pressed olives. It should be of olive. It should be pressed. For what? For the light. For the light. So, for having light, you need to have the pressed olives. To cause lamp to burn continually. Now, you need to get the oil from this, that it will burn continually. You understood now? Why I'm going very slow here is, this is the base of what we are going to learn for the another 20-25 minutes. So, here, it should be brought by the children of God. Children of God. Children of God or children of... So, here we read, pure oil of pressed olives. Let us see, what is this olive? Psalms 52:8 says, "But I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love." You see there, I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in the unfailing love. What is the speciality? I always believe in the unfailing love. Thank you. Unfailing love of God. Then, so this is about olive tree in one place. In the other place, Judges 9:8. Judges 9:8 says, "Once upon a time, the trees decided to choose a king. First, they said unto the olive tree, 'Be our king.'" They went to the olive tree. All the trees came and said, "Be our king." The ninth verse says, "But the olive tree refused. He said, 'I don't want to be your king.'" He refused. And then he asked a counter question. "Should I quit producing the olive oil that blesses both God and people?" See, he's telling, someone comes and picks you up and give you the give you a very prominent place in something which are not supposed to be there. So what do you do? As a child of God, we have to say, no. This is what the olive tree said. It said, no. What I am quite sure what I am doing. I am blessing. I am producing this olive oil, and which is blessing God and people. So God and people are blessed by this. I will not come with you as the king. So here, what do you see here in this? He had a consecration. A child of God should have a consecration. We saw olive tree as trusting in the unfailing love of God in the first verse, 52:8. Now in this, in this we see that the olive says that I am consecrated. I am a separate person. First Peter chapter 2:8 says we are a royal priesthood. I am a royal priesthood. You don't need to be. You don't need to make me as a king. I am from the royal priesthood. So that is what it says. Then it says my thing is to bless people. This is my calling. I don't want to be your king. So this is what the consecration, the blessing nature, and trust in the unfailing love is what olive represents. Olive represents consecration, blessing, and trust in the unfailing love. So olive, then what happens is olive is going through a process of crushing. It is undergoing a process of crushing. Then only the oil will come. It has to go. When we face a small thing in our life, what we are going to say? We will be crying, yelling, praying, a lot of things. Here, the crushing is going to happen. Only then you will show your true worth. If you need to show that this metal is gold, pure gold, what do you need? You need to, that person will look at that gold and see his face. So we are supposed to stand. We will stand by the grace of God. We cannot do it by ourselves, but we will do by the grace of God. So here, it produces the oil, and this oil is used for light. This oil is used for light. So here, trials and persecutions come. Trials and persecutions come in our life. This is for what? For what? Producing oil. It will produce. It will refine you, but that is what is going to bring as oil. So this oil is through when you go through the trials and temptations. Say trials and temptations. Yeah, trials and temptations. So. Now, this is the oil, and then it says that pure oil of pressed olives for the light. So you need the pure one. You have the oil. You put it in the jar, and then what do you do? You take the clear ones. This is what you need to present it to the temple. That is why in Malachi it says you are bringing sacrifices of what size? All limping, right? Our sacrifices are all what? Limping, and those who doesn't have a year. It should be what? It should be 1 year old. It should be a male. It should be jumping with power. That kind of a thing that you need to offer as sacrifice. So here, it should be pure oil. You have to keep it and get the pure, clear oil. Now, my next question is very important. Who should produce the oil? Who should produce the oil? Who should produce the oil? Who? It should be from what? What did we read in the last verse? We read that the order the children of Israel. So the children of Israel should bring the oil. So here what you see is, here you see that the oil that is being brought should be, who has to do the whole thing? Who has to bring in the olives? Who have to bring, crush it? Who has to take the oil? Who has to bring it? There is a value that is being added. It should be by us. It should be by us. Only the oil that is being brought by us is valuable before God. It is not that you run at the last moment to the showroom and buy some oil and bring it and put it and light it. What happens to Aaron's children? Two of them? You don't know? What did they do? What was the sin? They offered strange fire. The same way here, what you see, they brought the oil from outside. See now, when I read this for the first time, I thought God was not reasonable. Because just because the oil was not there, they went and bought the oil and came, that it was closed. Now you see the difference? Who all saw the difference between these two? Can you raise your hands? My God, how more than half doesn't know what it is. You did not know? Those who understood, raise your hands. My God, it's too bad. You did not understand? See, I'll tell you, the oil should be produced by me. I am supposed to take the olives. I have to put it in the drum. I have to crush it and take the oil and bring. But I am supposed to do it, and I did not do it. I went to the temple without doing all these things. I did not bring the oil. When the bridegroom came, I was without the oil. So what did I do? I immediately ran. I was supposed to give the message. I am not having the message. Immediately I went and switched on or took some this thing, and I started giving the message. So what happens? It's not acceptable by God. Now who all understood? Can you raise? Thank God. Better. Thank God. All right. Okay. So this is the oil for which Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that is doing the will of God, and glorify your Father in heaven." Glorify your Father in heaven. If Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works." See that good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That means doing the will of God. Good works is the will of God. And then again, in Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship. We are his creation, created in Christ. We are newly created for good works, to do the will of God, which is prepared beforehand. So now let us go to 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. If we are saying that I am having fellowship and walk in darkness, that means we are not having the light. In the body is not light, it is dark. That means we are not practicing the truth. What is practicing the truth? Every time when you stand for the truth, you are practicing for the truth. How do you practice the truth? If you have a commitment to God, you do your commitment. If you could not do what you are supposed to do, you have to come to the Lord and confess, "Lord, I have done something wrong. I have something wrong." And then the seventh verse, if we walk in the light and as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if we walk in the light, in the sixth verse we say that if we have fellowship with him, that means if we then our body will be full of light. And then we read that if we then we have fellowship with one another. So if we have the fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another. You will have the fellowship with one another. So then if you say that when I go and sit before God, I don't find any mistake. I don't have anything to say that to confess. The verse 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Practicing truth is not in you, not in me, when I say that I don't have sin. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Yes, thank you. So he is faithful and just. Our Lord is faithful and just. Amen. So when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. So he is there. So what is the will of God? What is the will of God from these verses? Confessing before God is the will of God. So that you practice truth. When you confess the sins, you practice what? Truth. You understood? So then you will have truth in you. In Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, I shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. So the doing the will of your Father. What is this oil now? From after learning, after looking into all this, what is this oil? What is this oil? What is the oil? No one can give a what? Huh? Good works. Good works means will of God. So oil means, if you need to burn, you need the oil. You need to do the will of God. So when you carry the can, what is that can? What is there in the can? Will of God. You are doing the will of God. When you do the will of God, that oil is the one which burns throughout in the night. The Exodus says that it should burn throughout in the night. It should, because it is darkness. If you are not light, then what darkness is it? Word of God says, what darkness is it? If the light in you turns into darkness, then what kind of a darkness is that? What kind of a darkness is that? This is the question. So then, Matthew 25:11 and 12. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. What a pathetic word to hear, that you come and knock, and then you say, I am having the oil. But those people knew what is the problem. Because if you know the word, they know that you are supposed to bring the oil. So in Matthew chapter 7:22 says, many say that to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out the demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Then another word, depart from me. Imagine, there will be a day of judgment. If there is right and wrong, there will be a day of judgment. We will have to see the Lord. We will have to stand before God. Don't think that we are here without any meaning. We have just come here to spend and to show show our efficiency and do whatever you like, and we can go. If there is a justice in this tree, there is a justice in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom of God, when we go and stand, when we hear that you are not worthy, I don't know you, depart from me, all these verses are very bad. God says that you are supposed to do my Father's will. So who will take all these verses seriously? Who will take all these verses seriously? Will you take all these verses seriously in your life? Will God find you and me when we stand before the throne? Will we confess our sins? Will we reconcile with God? Will you practice the truth? If you all say that you will practice this truth, all of you stand up. We'll just sing this song. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Let all of you raise your hands and submit unto God. And sing this hymn again. Sing this. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Allah. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Brethren, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good work. You've heard the message today. How far is your light shining? That is the question you have to ask yourself. And what type of oil are you feeding into your lamps? Is it the adulterated one? Is it the pure oil? This is very important. Remember, you have to produce your own oil. And you need this oil to keep your light burning. Your work is your light. What you do, what people see that shine before men are the work of your hand. I want you to pray and ask God that, Lord, shine your light into my spiritual life. Because when God shines his light into your spiritual life, you'll be able to produce a good oil, a pure oil that will produce a good work in you. Why can't you talk to God? The year is running out. In another few days, the year will be off. What type of good work, what type of light you have shined to the world, what type of light you have shined to your own life, are you allowing your light to shine for people to see the good work? Talk to God. Lord, shine your light into my spiritual life. Shine your light into my physical light, life. Pray. Call upon God. Ask God also, God, shine your light into my financial life. Because when you are blessed financially as well, your light will shine. Your good work will also shine. Talk to God spiritually, physically, and financially. Let my light shine. Give me the enablement to have this pure oil. The kind of oil that God will endow you that it will not produce smoke. The kind of work that you will produce, and whether you are there or not, it will shine. Your light will always shine. Talk to God. And so shall it be. For in Jesus' name we pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you and appreciate you for the wonderful message that we have heard today. The oil and the lamp. Father, we pray that you continue to endow us, your Holy Spirit, that will guide us, that will direct our path to produce that pure oil, not an adulterated oil, the kind of oil that we produce, that we shine our light to the world. Father, endow us in the mighty name of Jesus. And as the year is going to an end, Father, we pray, Almighty God, that your light will shine to our life. And we will reflect it back with the kind of oil that we feed into our lamp. Father, we pray, so shall it be in Jesus' name. We want to thank you for your servant that you have used for us this day. More anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless sister. Bless all that connected to him so that we can receive more from him. Let the light of his life continue to shine for us to see in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you once again for this year that is running out, for all that you have done in your church, in the congregation, in TBLF, and in the church all over the world. Father, we appreciate you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name in Jesus' name. And as the year is running to an end, the remainder of our programs, Lord, we commit them into your hand. Take glory and take honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And let our light continue to shine. Let the light of bread of life continue to shine to the world in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. Everlasting Father, as we depart yet, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. And when we meet within the week for Vigil Night, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. Our Father in heaven, the year is running out. That special gift that you have for us, that we are still expecting. Father, let the gift reach us in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless each and every one of you. The Lord will give you Christmas gift in Jesus' name. All your heart desire that you desire from January up to now that you have not received, before the end of this year, it shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. The kind of fulfillment that will shine light into this world that God Almighty will grant you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Everlasting Father. We bless your holy name. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Merry Christmas to you all.